You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with actor Mark Jackson. Mark plays AI science officer Isaac in Seth MacFarlane's TV series The Orville, which returns for its second season on December the 30th in the U.S. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Mark about what it's like working with Seth MacFarlane, the appeal of awkwardness, and why sci-fi is so effective for exploring social issues. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Talking with me. This is great. It's great to connect with you.
My pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Second season of The Orville, of course, starts on the 30th. Is it December 30th?
Yep.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about The Orville. I know you're starting your second season, but there are some that may not know what the show is and maybe what appealed to you about it.
Sure. Well, The Orville is a show on Fox. It's set 400 years in the future. And we are in the world of the Union, which is a conglomeration of planets and alien races that have gotten together. And the action takes place on the USS Orville, a Union ship, which is set with the task of exploring the universe, greeting new races, and often doing boring things like dropping off cargo. But generally, they do have fun times.
What was it about the show that really appealed to you?
Well, I mean, what wasn't there to appeal to me? I was in rainy old London. And I had been for 10 years when I auditioned for this show. So someone said, my agent said, oh, you know, well, it's sunshine in LA. It's working with Seth MacFarlane. It's doing sci-fi. It's doing comedy. And I jumped at the chance, to be honest with you.
Well, it's interesting that, this is Seth MacFarlane's show. Like, I don't know if he's one of the writers, but I know he was one of the originators of the show. Like, it's sort of based on his style of comedy. And there's sort of a unique tone to it with heart and humor. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is there's sort of an honest portrayal of its characters that seems to differ from other sci-fi series. They're awkward, you know, their conversations are awkward. It's not always clean and clear-cut like it would be in, say, Star Trek. Why do you think it's so important to ground these characters in their awkwardness?
Well, I mean, first of all, Seth is everything on the show. Mm. He's written it. He obviously stars in it. He produces it. He show runs. It's entirely his baby. Mm. And it's incredible to work on a project where someone is the entire genesis of the project. You know, it's quite unusual. Usually, like, there's so many different factors involved, which there are. But he sort of leads on all of them. It's amazing to see him work like that. In terms of the characters being awkward and sort of like it's a closer reality to what we're used to in most sci-fi shows. You're right. I think that's where the charm of it lies. Mm. I mean, Star Trek is wonderful, and I have always loved it. But yeah, it's a bit glossy. You don't see the ins and outs of daily routines and. The kind of mundane things that we all have to deal with in our own lives, which we never really see reflected on the screen. It's a great source of comedy in The Orville for us to focus on that. You know, and space travel is something in itself which, you know, people don't really think about, but it takes a long time to get anywhere in space. And there's several moments across the two seasons in The Orville where they have to go to a different part of the universe, and it takes like 7 days. Mm. So they're like, okay, well, until that very exciting moment happens where, you know, lots of action will take place, we're on the ship and we've just got to get on with each other. So you have people just going for a drink at the bar. You have people just, you know, passing each other in the corridor and trying to make chit-chat in the elevator as it goes up and down the ship. And, you know, it's beautifully, beautifully observed everyday life in a very unusual situation.
Yeah, it's a unique look. It's a lot of fun. One of the words I've heard used a lot when talking about the show is the word throwback. I was wondering if you could comment on what you think that means as it pertains to The Orville.
Well, I think the show builds on all the giants of science fiction past and stands on their shoulders, really. So I think in terms of throwing back, I suppose The Orville, you know, it takes all the best elements of those shows and combines them with, you know, something actually quite forward-thinking and quite, what would you say, throw forward, maybe. This idea of looking to the future and trying to solve the problems of today, I think the show does really well, you know. And it's one of the great things about sci-fi is that you can take modern day issues and transport them to a place where, you know, it's a quite a safe environment to deal with them. So, you know, we take the episodic nature of Star Trek Next Generation, and we take that sort of innocence and hope that you kind of have with that show, and we bring that forward and then deal with issues of today. I think, yeah, I think if you think of Orville as a throwback in any way, it can only be a good thing.
You know, it's interesting you bring up issues of today. That seems to be something that comes up in a lot of science fiction, dating back to the original Star Trek and whatnot. Why do you think that sci-fi is so effective for exploring social issues?
Well, as I say, you know, sci-fi allows us the opportunity to take issues which are a bit too painful or too complex to explore in the current socioeconomic environment. Mm. And you can take them and you can throw them onto a planet that is made entirely of, I don't know, methane on the fringes of the galaxy, 7,000 years in the future, with a race that can only speak in, I don't know, in negative terms. And then you deal with it there, you know, and it kind of, it immediately throws new light on the subject, but also potentially provides us with a way to tackle it in ways that we haven't thought of yet.
Yeah. There's sort of a distance in some ways when you can almost separate yourself and talk about something that is much closer to you, I would think.
Yeah, distancing yourself from things can be very productive in a way.
Yeah. Now, of course, you play Isaac, the robot. Is he a science officer? I'm not sure what how to describe him.
Well, he is a science officer. You're absolutely right. Yep. We tend to avoid the word robot. I'm not sure he would ever call himself a robot. I feel like robots are very human invention. And, of course, he's far from human. So AI is what we tend to go for.
Right, of course. Well, I wouldn't want to offend him, so
absolutely.
Well, I take it back.
I wouldn't either if I
was. What is it about his character that appeals to you? How do you connect with him?
Well, a few people have asked me this, actually. And it's interesting when you play someone who's considered a bit of a psychopath, when people ask you that question, because you're like, well, how revealing should I be here? You know, what kind of bizarre, disturbing facets of my own personality can I lay on the table here? But quite frankly, the appeal of playing him is that he is so weird and different, and is so unhuman. You get to go to places that you wouldn't necessarily get to go to with a normal human character.
Going back to working with Seth for a moment, I was wondering what the rehearsal process was like. I wouldn't imagine there would be improvisation, or is it just through the reading through? Do you stick very closely to the script? I know with your theater background, that must be a challenge.
Well, with theatre, you actually do stick to the script religiously, really. Mm. I mean, particularly if you do something like Shakespeare, you can't really improvise that shit. That's the famous phrase. And it was the same with this. We didn't improvise. We haven't ever improvised. Oh, and wow. I think that's testament to just how precisely, cleverly thought out the script is when it comes to us performing it on the day. And, you know, it changes, it goes through mutations. We'll often have rewrites on the day, but that's very common in TV and film, and it's part of the fun, really. But yes, once you've got the script, once you've got those sides and you're standing on set, they are what you're going to say. You know, that might sound quite draconian, but it isn't at all. It's pretty liberating, actually. When you're standing on set in front of a camera, you need to have some sort of solidity in your life. So a script that you can actually rely on is a very welcoming thing.
You know, just as we start to wrap up, I was wondering, what can we expect from season two as the Orville picks up again?
Well, I mean, everything you loved from season one is going to go into overdrive for season two. We just step it up a gear so much. I mean, every time we got the new scripts, they just read like movies, each and every episode. There's so much more action. There are new characters. Mm. The relationships develop in very unexpected and thrilling ways. And I can say that for Isaac as well. And, you know, we get more aliens. So everyone who loves all the aliens and the weirdness of all that, we get loads more. The alien production workshop has been in overdrive this year, which has been great. And the effects and the music. I mean, I don't know if you know, but the music is recorded with a huge orchestra.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Every episode. Oh, wow. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, and so rare, actually, to have that on a TV show. So, I mean, just expect super quality, great stories, and a hell of a lot of adventure.
Great. Oh, Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us. I really appreciate it. And Orville's a great show. It's a lot of fun.
I'm glad you enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to season two.
Yeah. Keep watching.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.